While I'm a product of my past, I'm not a prisoner of my past. I can, and by God's power, will change. That's kind of a great text to kick this off with. And I'm talking today about roadmap for your spiritual journey. This is a rather easier message than the prophetic messages I have been sharing. However, in 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about identifying God's last day people. Would you pray with me as we begin this message? Heavenly Father, we come before you because you are the one who keeps our heart beating. Bless this message, Father. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. When was the last time you ever asked yourself the question, why do you come to church? What am I doing here? When was the last time you really thought through why you come? Well, we come for a need, hopefully to be different, with a need to grow, the need to change. That's one of the things that all of us have in common. Would you say amen to that? It's the need to change. Thank you. COVID kept many a prisoner for almost 2 years. And they were locked in time. And do you know, they are saying now in the educational system in Arizona that those 2 years may never come back. And maybe you're thinking it's not a universal need. Maybe it's just my need. You're kind of a go-go driven person. You do a lot of things. You feel like it's a need for you, but I'm wired different than other people. Maybe you don't need to change. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you wish you could be more patient with your kids? Raise your hand. Yes, I need some more patience. How about more patience with each other? Well, we could use that, right? Do you ever wish you could worry less about some of the circumstances in life that you know God will take care of? Well, look at that. All this time. How's that? Well, I have a booming voice anyway, right? Would you like a better control of lust in your life? Oh, you say, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Sure you are. Sure you are. And you're sitting in the parking lot while your wife is shopping in Walmart, and this beautiful woman walks by and you say, wouldn't it be nice to be young again? Oh, isn't she beautiful? Or you see some man, ladies, and you say to yourself, whatever happened to my husband? This one lady in church said one time to me, she said, you have all your hair. I said, I do. It's white, but I have it all. And she said, well, that's something. My husband's 45 and it's all gone. He doesn't even have sideburns. Well, we all age differently. Amen? We all age differently. Let me continue. Did you know that God gives himself a name that responds to the needs we have? Did you receive a handout? How many of you have a handout? Okay, I want you to follow me through with this. And the name in Hebrew is Jehovah Makedesh. I'll be talking about some more names for God. I am the God, listen to this now, who what? Sanctifies, changes you. Jacob had a name that revealed his character, but his name was changed to that of Israel. My name was changed from Stonewall Jackson to Rocky Jackson Gale. When I was in the Army, that's what they called me, Stonewall. It doesn't matter where you are today because this term still applies to you. Listen carefully. God wants to change you. Maybe you're already a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. God is at work. That's good news. He's not done with you yet. And he will lead you into all the truth if you will let him lead. How many of you really believe that at the end of this world, where we are now, God has more truth to reveal to you about some of the things that are going to happen as you study the Word?
Amen?
Amen? Yes. And there are others, you know, that they're not even a believer in Christ. I remember a man saying to me one day, well, I really don't confess Jesus. And my response was, then you are an unbeliever. Would that be safe to say? He said, yes, it is. And then I said to him, oh, you're a believer. I am not. I said, yes, you are. Who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about God. You're a believer. Well, my views are different from you. You're a believer. You either believe one thing or you believe another, but every one of us believes something about God. Is that true? Raise your hand. Every single one of us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we read it again. Thank you, Dave. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Now, I love this. The old life is what? Gone. And the new life is come. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed the old life every once in a while knocks at your heart's door? Yeah. Oh, listen, you think God's that particular that he's going to be concerned about that thing? Oh, come on now. Look around the church. There are people that do that. If it was not okay, God would surely convict them. Well, God's not talking to them. He may be talking to you because what you're doing had become a substitute for him. The words, you remember the song, just as I am, thou wilt receive. Cleanse, pardon, and what? We leave. What this means is that those who become Christians become new people. I've been reading a book about carnal Christians. You know what a carnal Christian is? He believes in Jesus. He loves Jesus. He loves the Lord. But he's never placed Jesus here and himself here. He's kind of bartered with Jesus back and forth. Oh, my dear friends, we're not going to go to heaven unless we are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. This old life is gone. Something happens. I'm not the same anymore. Do you remember the Heritage Singers singing that song, Something's Happened to Daddy? He's not the same anymore. Things are different at our house. We don't throw things at each other. We don't call each other names. We don't use those terrible curse things. Things are different at our house like never before. The old life is gone. Our old spiritual nature, new life has begun. This new nature, it's not new life. It's a new life. It's a new supernatural relationship with God. It's when we go from God's creation to God's child. I love that. From God's created creation to God's child. In Philippians chapter 3, I want you to read the scriptures with me. You have it in your notes there, I'm sure. Philippians chapter 3, not that all I have already obtained or am already what? I'm not perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. God the Father sent his only begotten Son, and Jesus reaches down, takes your life, and presents it to the Father and says, this is my beloved Son, my Father, in whom I'm well pleased. Brethren, let's continue. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. What do I do? I love this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, I think we spend too much time in worrying about the things we have lost rather than the things we have left. Well, I lost this. But my dear friends, you have not lost God, have you? God doesn't want to just fine-tune our manners and make us quiet believers. I remember one dear saint, she said, well, you know, I don't talk about God much. I said, you don't? She said, oh, no, I just live the life. I said, praise God. And then I asked her, has anyone ever questioned you about your faith? Oh, no. They know I love Jesus. Well, I don't know if that's going to work in the long run because we have to testify about Jesus. Is that amen? Amen? Testify about Jesus. I love this. As we continue, those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead, I pressed, what is it? Toward the mark of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love that, my dear saints. I press toward the mark. I'm not perfect. I fall. I make mistakes, but I do not focus on my mistakes. I focus on Jesus Christ. There are some things in my life, in my struggles, that I thought there's no way it's going to change. Have you ever felt that yourself? I'm stuck with this. God doesn't say, oh, that's the way you are. Move on to other areas in your life. Do you know what I've noticed about God? If he brings you to a certain issue and he allows you to move away, guess what he's going to do? Now, help me out here. He's going to bring you right back to it again, again, and again, and again. Would you say amen? That's what he does. How does God change us? Some of you are visiting today because you've seen a change in a friend or the change in your own life is happening. I remember an elderly gentleman in his 80s. Years ago, he and his wife came to church in Newport Richey, Florida. The church here reminds me of that church. Beautiful church. And she said to me one Sabbath morning, my husband's changed. I said, what do you mean? And he was there standing. She said, he used to complain all the time. Didn't you, honey? Boy, talk about putting you on the spot. Yeah. Yes, I did. Well, what happened? I'm a new person now. Turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, please turn there. I like slides, but you know, I like preaching just from the Word of God as well. How about you say amen to that? Philippians, I want you to catch this. Verses 4, Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to show you something. I want you to see the process here. And I thank you that I have a little bit more time to share some of these beautiful things. Philippians chapter 4. Come on, Rocky, it's right here. Chapter 4. Here we go. Verses 6 to 9. You have it there? All right. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, you cannot explain it, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now come down to verse 9. The things which you, say it with me, what's the first word? Which you what? Learned. Secondly, you what? Received. Third, you heard. And you So let's say it again. I'm going to give you the words again. Number one, you learn. Number two, when you learn, you receive the truth. People hurt, they change. When they hurt enough, they have to change. You heard, and I love this. You learn, receive, you heard, and you saw. You learn. How do you learn? By watching. This word has to do not with theoretical knowledge, but experiencing with people. You get around people who know Jesus. You get around on fire people who love the Lord Jesus. You don't stand in a mud hole with someone putting down the church. You don't stand next to people who are so negative, they keep telling you it's a rotten day. Every day's rotten. If I were telling you something, I'd leave those people in a minute. You are unequally yoked together. Did you catch that? Now come to Ephesians chapter 1, 13. Just back a little. I want you to see what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. A little different process. In him, you also, what's the first word? Trust it. After you what? Heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom you have believed. You listen to this. You trusted. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were sealed. I told you one day that that's a gospel seal, and it will be with you until Jesus comes. I don't know why we're so concerned about the end time seal. If we are sealed by the gospel, we have eternal life. Is Jesus with you? Raise your hand. Then you have eternal life. Oh, I love that. I love that. Sealed with the seal of God. Chapter 4, verse 30 puts it like this. Just a brief. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom also you were sealed for the day of redemption. When is the day of redemption? When Jesus Christ shall come again in the clouds of heaven. And by the way, dear saints, that's not far away. It is not. There are two extreme things of thoughts, neither of which are biblical, by the way. Two of them. One thought is that the change that takes place is all God and I do nothing. Morris Fenden used to say, I sat on the couch drinking lemonade and asked God to mow the lawn. You know? Is it hot out there, God? Yeah, well, keep doing that. You're doing great. And the second extreme says that God, give me the ability to change, and I'm going to change. What the Bible teaches about change, the biblical position of sanctification, I want you to catch this, is that there is a God part and there's our part. Would you say amen to that? A God part and our part. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, God puts eternity in our hearts. Every morning when you get up in the morning and you say, Jesus, I am your child, your heart that belongs to God is responding. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, what a Father, what a God, and what a Savior. Amen? All right, let me give you five things here. Five things to think about when it comes to change. In other words, write this in your notes. Realize that your spiritual life is what? It's a journey. Philippians 1:6. We read, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Turn to Philippians 2, just for a moment there. If you have Philippians, just turn to verse 2, chapter 2. I want you to see this. In verse 5, what does the Bible say? Help me out here. I want to make sure if I can bound, I can get back up here. Philippians 2, 5, what does the Bible say? Come on, help me out. Let this mind be in you, which is in who? Christ Jesus. I want you to focus on two people in the church, not specifically any two, but there are two people in the church, and they can't seem to make it. Two ladies in the church can't seem to make it. Whoever, whomever. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, and they have the Holy Spirit in their life, does the Holy Spirit argue with himself? Ha ha ha. You have it, don't you? Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Now come down to verse 12. Listen, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And what does it say? Come on, help me out, nice and loud. Work what? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does it say work for? It says work what? You already have salvation. You're working it out. You're living it out in your life. How do I know? Because the next verse says, in verse 13, I love this verse. For it is God's will, for it is God, rather, who works in you both to will, that's the power of choice, and to do. God does the willing and God does the choosing if you will do the surrendering. Oh, the gospel is phenomenal. Would you say amen? Oh, what a father. What a God. I read a statement from the writings of Mrs. White, written in 1887, in the book First Selected Messages, page 122. How often have the professed advocates of truth proved the greatest obstacle to its advancement? Listen, unbelief indulged, doubt expressed, and darkness cherished has encouraged the presence of evil angels. Never doubt God. He that hath my son hath eternal life. And if you don't accept that, it's not Rocky you're dealing with. That's God. Well, you say, I'm looking for a place where people are really Christians. Well, aren't we all? One lady said to me, I'm not staying here. And I asked her why. She said, well, it's too much hypocrisy. I said, I know just what you're talking about. And then she began to recite some things that had occurred and she had seen. And I said, I know you're right, but where are you going to go? Well, I have an idea. I said, okay, where I'd like to go. And then I said, have you ever thought about the record of the Book of Remembrance? Oh, yes. I said, well, we find that Judas's name was in the church record to begin with. Along with who? Jesus. And I said, Judas left on his own. What did Jesus say? What's in your heart, go do. What's in your heart this morning? We're on a journey. And I want to talk about something that I was crying about. I really was. My precious wife, Christine, she and I have devotions every morning on the life of Joseph. And she found a statement. And actually, Phil Yancey in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, calls forgiveness an unnatural act. If you cannot forgive yourself, you cannot forgive someone else. Listen to this. If forgiveness is always painful, for what does it sound like to forgive? Hear the wail of Joseph's grief when his brothers came before him and he knew them. Revealed himself and wept and wept and wept. They're thinking, oh my, what's going on? Pharaoh's household can't believe what's happening to this high official. I'm telling you what he's doing. He's experiencing that of forgiving and that of being forgiven. To forgive and be forgiven. Oh, my dear saints. We're all a part of this journey. I've been a Christian for 60 years. I haven't arrived yet. And I know you haven't. All right, I'm going to come to another one. Set your sights on the final destination. Not here. The final destination. If you want to cooperate with God's change, set your sights on a destination. Where are you going? I remember pastoring an Oregon conference looking to see my grandchild when we came home on vacation. Oh, what a joy it was, wasn't it, honey? And of course, we pastored in Lake Havasu as well. I pastored that church for almost 3 years. And we would see our grandchildren. And my little granddaughter, Ashley, it was a little thing like this, tooth missing here and there. And I remember like yesterday one morning that I had gotten up early. We had stayed at my daughter's home, and we had awoken early, and I said, honey, I'm going to take Benny down to McDonald's. He liked the home fries, you know. I came back, and here's my little granddaughter. She didn't wake up early enough. She's just like this. And she looked at me with those little teeth. She said, you didn't wake me up. I wanted to go. She knew where she wanted to go. She wanted to go to McDonald's. And she wanted to be with who? Who wants to be with you? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Can you picture your final destination? I can. I love this here in Hebrews chapter 10:10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus once and for all. I know where we're going. How many of you know where you're going? You really know where you're going. You're going home. You believe it. You really believe you're going home to be with Jesus. Raise your hand up. Say, I'm going home. Say it with me. I'm going home. This is not my home. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Would you want to go to heaven if Jesus was not there? No. One man asked me, he said, Pastor, what if this is all you have? I said, then it's been a wonderful ride. You mean you'd still be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian even if this was it? I said, even if this was it. I love the Word of God. I know you do too. Leviticus chapter 17 says this. Let's see. It will say it. I can get it. There you go. Leviticus chapter 7, chapter 20, I'm sorry. Consecrate yourself to God. Be holy because I am the Lord God, your God. Keep your decrees. Keep my decrees and follow them. I'm the Lord who makes you holy. You cannot make yourself holy. Set yourself apart as being holy. You say to yourself, like 1 Peter 1:13 through 15, I belong to God. I cannot do this thing and sin against him. Like Joseph with Potiphar's wife, I would rather die than sin against the Lord. You know, when you can say that, you don't ever have to worry about going to heaven. You're already there in your heart. Heaven begins where? Right here. Would you say amen? Set apart. You're holy. You're holy. Some of you say, when I say that's a final destination, you kind of feel uncomfortable. Maybe I won't make it. You know the scary thing? I'm just asking you to reflect. This is a rhetorical question. Is everybody in this church going to heaven? Hope so. Are there going to be people in the Adventist faith that are not going to heaven? Yes. Come on, loud and clear. Yes. Why? We have the truth of God, do we not? Yes. Why is it, when it comes to our future, that some are not going to go to heaven? All right. They what? Okay, yes. Yes, Jim. I appreciate my brother here too, Wes. You know, I have a little problem with what would Jesus do. I would rather say, how would Jesus be? We talk about change. We're not talking about doing. We're talking about being. Inside you is the Spirit of the Holy God, a new nature. I love this. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory to glory. So we fix our eyes on Jesus. Is knowledge important? Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy, chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. I just want to share a couple of things here. We're going to wind down very soon because I want to talk to you, to your heart. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and begin there in verse 14. Paul is telling Timothy. Here's what he says. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. That's a hard one to pronounce, by the way. It's not just me. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to who? Man, I met Rocky, and man, is he on fire for God. Now, whatever happened to him, I remember him from... Take heed to yourself. I love this. Listen to this. Take heed to yourself and to what? Your what? Your doctrine. I shared that with a Pentecostal minister one day. He said, well, yes, doctrine's important, and we believe being filled with the Holy Spirit is. And I said, well, aren't you concerned which spirit it is that you're filled with? He said, well, that is a good point. Yeah. So we need knowledge. Knowledge is very important to us. It goes hand in hand with the desire to submit your life to the author of life. You would say amen to that. Knowledge acquired, faith uplifted, and hope established. God gave me that this morning at 4 o'clock. Listen to this. When knowledge is acquired, our faith is established. And when our faith is established, our hope, and when our faith rather is uplifted, our hope is established. Number three, here we are. Ask God for help with your roadblocks. Roadblocks are areas of life that slow down the movement. Normally, we can identify it. I have a problem. And we can determine to take action. I have to do something about this. I remember a lady who was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And she said, I have to quit smoking. She didn't quit smoking. Years and years ago. I even forgot exactly where I remember meeting her, but I remember meeting her. And then it wasn't long after that she found out she had cancer, and she said, I have to quit. Now I have to quit. I heard enough. I have to quit. I've learned enough. I'm able to quit. I receive enough. God knows he will help me quit. She did. One young woman came to the Arizona Family Center, a church I started in Phoenix. Bobby McGee is pastoring there now. They have about 80 or 90 people. And she was smoking outside the building on 19th Avenue in Phoenix. She saw me, and I came around the corner. I knew she wanted to visit. She said, am I going to hell for smoking? And I said, no, but you'll probably smell like you've been there. You know what she did? I'm quitting these blasted cigarettes. She quit them. She would rather not smell. She was in a burning oven. Are we funny? Are we funny? Oh, yes, we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says this, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. What a God. Everything that contaminates everything. Have you made a list of everything, all the roadblocks in your life? What is contaminating your character now? You name it, pride, gluttony, lust, overspending. Don't say anything, honey. Anger, stealing, having an affair. Oh, that doesn't happen in the Adventist church. You know, they're in their 60s. That would never happen. Hell yeah. What is the roadblock in your life? Pornography? They did a survey of Adventists who did not have to give their names of about 600 people. I'm not going to even tell you the percentage that had at one time been involved in the pornography, and age had nothing to do with that. My dear saints, that is the most pernicious, wicked thing that a person can be caught up in. Thank God Jesus gave you a new mind and a new heart. You know, I believe that some of us may go to the grave constantly parked at that roadblock. You're unwilling to humble yourself to and take time out and say, God, I can't do it on my own. But I know a man who did. Amen. There's a woman, if you get a chance, look her up today. She's called Grace Larson. Grace Larson. Actually, Grace Brumley Larson. She's a singer. Grace Brumley Larson. And she put out a song, I know a man who can. And she has a song on promises. Oh my, the church should hear this. Oh, God speaking, I never promised you're going to have everything easy. I never promised things were going to be great, but I did promise that I will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. Some of us are going to go to the grave thinking that we didn't make it because somehow we weren't good enough. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Whoever confesses and forsakes his sins, God will have mercy, but he who covers his sins will not prosper. David learned that, you know. Number four, as we wind down, learn how to refuel. I call this pit stop. Have you ever been to Daytona 500? Anyone here? We have. We used to vacation in Florida, didn't we, honey? And we would go over by Daytona on that week, and you could hear those race cars rumbling around that track. And then someone would call out, pit stop. Tires are gone. Check the oil. It's running hot. You need a pit stop in your life. A place where you can pull over and say to God, I need help. I need help. I need this. I need that. Or I can't finish this race. Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Things work best when we're connected with God. Would you say amen? I hope and pray that you invite your friends here. This is a safe place for you to be your friend. With your friends. How many of you would say amen? You have to worry about the pastor saying something that's going to hurt them. It's a safe place to be your friend. Bring your friends. You ought to do that. 1 Peter 3 says some wonderful things here. Listen to this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Oh man, is that amazing. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, not just yours, but and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. The Bible says a change process is always expressed in the community of believers. You can't stay home. You need to be here. You know, it hurt me more than ever. I have to be where I can put arms around people. How many of you like that? I want to see people I can relate to and spend time with it and hear their burdens. COVID almost destroyed that. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 25 and 26. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself, what? Together as some do. But all the more as you see the day approaching, come together. Oh, yes, we need Jesus. Now, the last, final thing I want to talk about is pause along the way to celebrate the progress. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. If anyone is in Christ, oh, wait a minute, what do I have here? A little hard to sing. We don't look ahead and see how far we have to go. We look back and see how far we've come. How's that sound? I like that. Do you? Oh, I like that. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonders, your works, your wondrous works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be counted, cannot be recounted. Oh, what a God, what a God. If I would declare and speak of them, They are more than can be numbered. Oh, is that true? How do you feel about that? Oh, my. But the fruit of the Spirit, say it with me. Let's read it together. Is love, joy, peace, what? All right. Say it with me. Self-control. There's no law against that, see? Where are you on this journey? Where are you? I know where I started. I know where I started. I love this thought, that in Jesus I'm a new creation. Now here's a text. I want you to read it with me. We're going to take our Bibles and read it together. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 36 as we wind down. Ezekiel chapter, verse 36. Ezekiel, just before the book of Daniel. Chapter 36. And verse 25. Let's begin there. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Listen to this now. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my commandments and do them, my judgment. I will cause you to do it. Well, you see, I'm kind of running on empty. I read the story, Reader's Digest, of a woman. She ran out of gas, and she had to wait a while before someone came. And she yelled at the guy who finally brought the gas. She said, I can't believe you people. This service is terrible. And she went on and on and on. And he said, she told me I must be a dumb klutz. Now she engaged in the great American pastime looking for someone to blame. Then I thought, and I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, what does your gas gauge say? Well, it says empty, but it doesn't always mean empty. It doesn't. You ran out of gas. Some of us are here today, and we're running out of gas. I can tell you that. And you know what happens? You run out of gas. You know how you can tell? Your attendance in church kind of wavers a little bit. You're not as on fire as you used to be. You got all of these things battling your life. By the way, this woman's name is Irene Sendler. Born 1910. Lived through the Holocaust. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I must pause a moment. Look what's happening to Israel and the Palestine and Palestinians. You know, we are on the verge of coming of Jesus. I want to tell you that right now. It's very short. The last events will be what? Say it with me. Rapid events. He will cut short in righteousness. During World War II, Irene Sendler got permission to work in the Warsaw Ghetto. I've studied it thoroughly. I was in Germany for 3 years and traveled around different places. I never saw this. In Frankfurt, Germany, and Ramstein Air Base, they have something set aside to honor her. She worked as a sewer specialist in the Warsaw Ghetto. It must have been a clean job, right? She knew of the Nazis' plans for the Jews. Irene smuggled little babies out of the bottom of a toolbox she carried and brought them back to her truck. She had a burlap sack for larger children. She had a dog in the back of the truck that she trained to bark when the Nazi soldiers let her in and out of the ghetto. The soldiers wanted nothing to do with the dog, and the barking covered the noise of the little babies. She managed to smuggle out and save 2,500 children. And you know something? She was posed to be honored won the Nobel Peace Prize, but you know who got it instead in 2007? Al Gore. Kind of ironic, isn't it, huh? You say, well, I know God is faithful, and I know he's going to stay with me. He is. Say amen to that. Stand up with me. He's going to stay with you. He's going to stay with you. Are there some things you'd like to say to God today? God, I am sorry. I want to do better. Some issues that have never been settled for you in the church. If you want to do that. You know, this is the best time and best part of church. You know why? A church on fire is a testifying church. Testify. A testifying church. I want to give just a couple of you, if you'd like to share something. You got to be honest from your gut. Who would like to share? Okay, my brother. Wes has our little microphone here.
The Holy Spirit blessed me with a brand new car.
Oh, my.
It was a beautiful one. I love driving it.
Oh, my. Somebody else.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I remember standing before a church saying, I'm sorry if I ever hurt you. I don't want to hurt anyone. Do you want to hurt anyone? No. Someone else. I'm going to give it one or two. You know what's it? You want to say before your dear brothers and sisters, God, thank you for this. God, thank you for that. Yes, Christy.
We broke our drought. We got the rain. We don't have to worry. We got rain. We got snow on the hills.
Yes.
And I thank God that he's not going to let us be in a drought.
Amen. Someone else. Right here.
I want to thank God for what he did for Sam's with the loss of his wife. The whole community came together and raised $10,000 to support that man.
Oh,
and
man.
It wasn't just the Adventist community, it was the whole community. Oh. And Sam said, I could have never made it without my faith. So
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I want to challenge you. I'm going to make a challenge to you today. We're not just playing church. Say amen. We're not playing church.
Amen.
I don't come to just preach a great sermon. I pray the Lord uses me, but I come here because I want change in my life and I want to be one who can help you have change in your life. I'm going to challenge you. I'm speaking again in 2 weeks. I'm going to talk about this Adventist message. I want you to invite a friend. This is your church family. You know why most people never invite a friend? Because they're afraid the pastor or someone will say something and hurt them. Well, you can be safe here. You're standing on solid ground. Amen? Hey, with a name like Rocky, it's got to be solid ground. Amen. But Jesus is the rock. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for being here today. Bless this wonderful church. Send your Holy Spirit with us. Help us to be lights that shine, Father, in this dying hour of this world. Oh, Father God, be with those who have already lost their lives in this war and in the Middle East and so many things happening, Father. Babies beheaded and all these terrible, gruesome things. We look at Ukraine and the girls raped and beaten. Oh, Father, come soon, Lord Jesus, while there's faith in Jesus' name, in your name, amen. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. Thank you, Jim.